Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 86. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim. And Dave ain't here.
And on this week's episode, are you prepared for a power outage?
All right, guys, welcome back to the UK Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. But you got to have the proper know-how and help from your friends. And one of our friends, Dave, is not with us this evening. Dave couldn't make it. He's like way behind on work. And you know what? It happens. I think Josh and I have maybe had to do this one other time, just the two of us.
I'm not quite sure.
I know that there was a couple times kind of earlier on with the pandemic. And I had to do a few without you guys.
That's right.
But other than that, we're most of the time all together. But, you know, Dave, you know, I mean, who really needs him, right? I mean, yeah,
Dave is our talent, though.
Yeah.
He's our comic relief, for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, so Dave's not with us tonight, but he will be back. No worries. So we're going to do a little bit of a shorter show. And we did have to take last week off, kind of did a little Veterans Day break there. And we will have actually some breaks coming up as well with Thanksgiving and then the holidays and that sort of thing. And so we'll be talking more about that hopefully in future episodes, or I guess maybe even the next episode. But we're going to be talking about power outages. Josh and I, well, and Dave, all experienced fairly significant power outages recently. We had what was then the Tropical Storm Zeta, I guess it was the hurricane that came through the Gulf Coast and then just tore through the southern states. So we had some pretty significant weather. I mean, it kind of came through. It wasn't like it didn't stay around. It was all of what, maybe 5 hours or something like that?
Yes,
if that.
Blew through quickly.
Yeah, it went through really quickly, but
tons. Left its mark.
If you're not from the Atlanta area, we are have been known as like the city of trees because we have so many trees, and a lot of our power lines are overhead, not buried in the suburbs. We had a lot of trees down, and so a lot of power went out, like major power systems went out. And it was actually our local co-op, our Cobb EMC. They said that it was the most significant storm damage, I think, in their 82 years of history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I heard it was at least the worst since Opal, which was 1995. And I remember that one. But this was the longest in my adult life I'd ever been without power.
Really? Okay, yes. Then it was probably mine as well, I would think, because, yeah, that's interesting.
Ours, I mean, at least, I mean, the past 5 years in this house, again, Tim and I live across the street from each other. Our power rarely goes out and it comes right back on. And Dave's usually the one with
right.
his Marietta City Power who's out for days at a time
right.
on the regular.
I don't know how that works because they've got to all be kind of sharing the same infrastructure.
They touch each other, I'm sure. But
yeah, anyway. I have no idea how that works.
But this time Marietta Power apparently got up and running more quickly than Cobb EMC.
Right.
Just as a matter of chance, I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay. But so how long were we out of power?
We were out, I want to say, 40 hours or something like that.
It had to have been more than that. No,
I can't. I should have done the math before
right.
I came on, but it came on the evening of the second day, I think. Like we went.
Okay. I thought it was like 3 days.
My math might be off by one day, but we were encroaching on
right.
3 days. Anyway, I was at the point where I was thinking 24 more hours and this is going to be really annoying. I know we're very fortunate with our electricity in our suburbs,
gosh,
but
yeah,
it was like to the point of like, okay, we're about to have to throw out everything in the fridge, like
right.
that kind of deal. So, but we had moved a lot of stuff into the cooler, but we'll talk about
yeah, that. We're going to talk about that. But Josh, is there anything? I noticed that you've got back into the running recently.
Yeah.
You took a little time off from that.
Yeah. I had about a 2 month phantom ailment, which, you know, could have been a number of things. But yeah, I'm back into it. It's coming back pretty quick. So
because I saw you did like an 8 mile run.
I did. That was, yeah, I'm moving up.
Right. And when I say I saw that you did 8 mile run, for those of you people that are listening, you're like, what was he talking about? So both Josh and I are on the Strava app. That's Strava.
All the exclusive elite hunters are on Strava.
Completely free. I mean, you can pay to, it'll give you like a ton of stats on all this stuff. I don't do that. I think you do that. Yeah,
I got the paid.
Okay. I've thought about it, but I hadn't done it yet.
There's only been a couple times. So I'm in a running group where a couple of us have it and a couple of us don't have it. It's rare that the people that do have it are like, oh, look at this. Like usually everyone just, the free version's great.
The only thing I think, which is hilarious to hear myself say this, but I would actually like to see, because I think they give you stats on other runners, like maybe even your age or something like that.
Yeah, you can get age breakdowns for people in your area.
Yes, like that I would actually kind of like to do and see where I'm at, especially what I do at Kennesaw Mountain. Mm. Anyways, that's pretty much about the only thing.
You buttoned up a project I saw.
I did. So finally, I've talked about it on the podcast. I installed double French doors with side lights and transom that separates our entryway from our dining room, where my wife is now working in our dining room. And so we already had doors on the other side, but she wanted to close off the whole room. So installed those, and I posted a picture on our group page, our Facebook group page. So if you wanted to check that out, man, that was an epic project. It just took like way longer than I thought, but it was just a lot of finish work and everything too,
a lot of detail,
which took a long time. And the floor was uneven, so I had to shim up one side of it and all this kind of stuff. Well, I had to increase the opening size too. So it was just it wasn't even a cased opening; it was just drywalled, and then I had to cut open on either side and then create a new rough opening. So I had to do some drywall surgery, but I was able to do it where I didn't have to do any drywall work. So that was nice because I hate drywall. But yeah, if you wanted to see a picture of it, check out our Facebook group page.
Yep. I've got, I put the tongue and groove wood ceiling up this weekend.
Oh, nice.
In our basement bathroom.
I've heard about this. So you stained it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I got a pic. I'll put it up on the group.
So my wife and I were talking about that because she was mentioning your wife stained it. And then we were talking about, like, is that a good idea to put wood in a bathroom on the ceiling? Because it's going to see a lot of moisture. So are you going to put a lot of coats of like poly on it or what?
It's got a couple coats on there. And funny enough, we left the last batch of boards outside on a night that there was not rain in the forecast, and it totally rained. And I came out and it was like the deck of a yacht.
It was beating up.
Like I just tipped the board up. So I was like, I guess that's good.
And okay.
We should probably do more. We might do one more now that it's up, but
I guess I was thinking in the grooves, you know, because like moisture kind of might go up in the grooves and stuff like that.
Yeah, it could. And I left a little gap around all the edges because I know that wood's going to shift and move, but we'll see. It's not going to be a super heavy use shower.
Okay.
I mean, if we're still in the house when my kids are teenagers, then it might get a heavier use. But right now it's going to be like the guests. My in-laws stay with us occasionally, so
I guess you could always paint it and like caulk the seams or something. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would look, or just take it out. If it's really like a big issue.
Yeah. If I have to take it out, I'm burning the house down.
But. Okay. We'd like to hear from you guys, listeners, if you've put up wood paneling, right? That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Here's
tongue and groove.
Yeah. Here's what I'm not super concerned is cabins. Like my in-laws have a cabin and like all the ceilings in there are like straight up wood. I don't even know if it's tongue and groove.
Right.
I haven't seen issues there.
But does that see like just straight steam from a shower though? You know, I don't know.
Bathrooms? I mean, they're in the bathroom.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. And you've got an exhaust fan in there, no?
Got an exhaust fan.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah. I'll keep you posted. I'll probably be dead before it's an issue.
But. Yeah, I think you'll be all right. But we would like to see some pictures of the new bathroom that you've done.
I just don't like putting up these milestones because they'll be like, oh, he put the ceiling up. And then like 7 months later, he's like, oh, right, he put the toilet in.
Oh, man, that's how my... Okay, guys, for listeners who have checked out the You Can Man YouTube channel that has all of three videos on it.
Beautiful videos.
So... Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I just stopped that. And there's all these people it was a project because it was the library that I did. And I did, there's three videos there. So the first one was like installing this pocket door. And then the second one you were in, Josh, of installing, or I had to build out a wall and then installed French doors. And then the third one, I was showing a sketch up of the built-ins that I did at bookshelves. And then I just never did the reveal video. And so there's all these people on YouTube that are leaving all these comments like, hey, like, when are you going to post the reveal video? And I'm like, ah, man. Because like some guy was like, man, I'm wanting to do this. And I'm wanting to start. And I really wanted to see how yours turned out. But yeah.
Come on, people are waiting to.
I know. Well, I had actually done some video, but... So for those of you that don't know, I'm a photographer. So, but not I'm not really a videographer, but I take that same kind of, I don't know, that eye or something into video. And so
you hold yourself to the same standard.
Yeah. If it doesn't look right, I'm like, I can't, I don't know. I mean, I've got some leeway. I mean, you look at the YouTube videos. I mean, they're not like super.
They're better than everything that's out.
Okay, they're not spectacular by any means. But for the reveal video, I kind of wanted it to be really nice. And so it just didn't turn out like I wanted it to. So I need to do some more. But hopefully, maybe I'll have that up by the end of the year. Because I think that was like 2018.
Yeah.
That I actually did the project.
Right.
And then probably that last video that I posted was like maybe the end of 2018. I'm not really sure. But... Anyhow, so let's get talking about some power outage stuff. So we're not going to go into great detail as far as, so you may be thinking maybe they're going to talk about generators. We are going to touch on that a little bit, but we realize that that's not something that we've done a crazy amount of research on. Neither of us have big generators that we would use for a power outage. Because when I think of that, I think of like a whole house generator. That would be really, really nice. Now, of course, you know, you could just have a smaller generator and you're just running a few things, like basic things like your refrigerator and that sort of thing.
Which could be clutch in a long power outage.
Yeah. And we had some neighbors actually that had to do that. So we all got power back, and there's two houses in our neighborhood where a tree had fallen and taken out the line that goes directly to their house. And the power company was dealing with all the other like big, big problems. And so they got like bottom of the list, I guess. And they had to run generators. So we heard like the hum of the motor like all night long. But yeah, we would like to do some more research on whole house generators. Like I've watched some videos on that, and they run off natural gas and then they automatically kick on when the power goes off. They'll even do like self, not tests. Well, I guess it's tests. Well, they'll just auto come on like throughout a couple times during the week just to keep the motor fresh and everything. And really, really nice systems. But, you know, you're talking thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And it's hard around here because, like I said, I mean, 2 days was the longest I've ever been without power as an adult. And around here, if the power does go out, it usually comes right back on. And so, yeah, is it worth that investment? Like, that's always
the it's going to be like, how much you lose power. I mean, like Josh was saying, we really don't get a whole lot of storms here. In fact, a company I used to work for, I was in like this mentorship program in high school, actually. So there's a company called CryoLife, and they do this like biofreezing of different parts for...
They harvest stuff off cadavers
and save it. Yeah. I was trying to think of an easy way to say all that, but... Anyways, they chose Kennesaw, Georgia, which is a city right in here, for its lack of bad weather to a large degree.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, just a little tidbit there. That's interesting
because that matters. My in-laws have a cabin up in Ellijay. It's like heavily, heavily wooded. They frequently lose power. And this last time when we lost it for a while, I think my father-in-law was thinking about pulling the trigger on a big old generator.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. So yeah, a lot of this stuff is going to be, you can go on YouTube or any article online and find a bunch of this stuff. We're going to talk about stuff that we think might pique your interest or things that we feel like are extra important.
Right.
For power outage prep.
Yeah. So one of the big things, one of the first questions my wife and I were asking is, okay, well, what do we do with all the food that's in our fridge? Right.
Yep.
And so I found two different websites. So there's like, you can go on like the CDC website or the foodsafety.gov. So I'll post both of these links in our show notes. So they basically have charts of all these different foods and how how long you can keep these things in your fridge. So just, okay, so bottom line, one of the easiest things for you to remember is that if you do not open your fridge should be able to keep everything good to go for up to 4 hours.
Just four?
Just four. Wow. Well, you know, they're probably on the conservative side. So they're probably saying...
I was thinking like 2 days.
Okay, so that's just for the fridge. But the freezer is a little bit different too because it's got some factors involved concerning like how full the freezer is. Mm-hmm. So like a full freezer is going to keep cold a lot longer than even just a half full freezer. So we always try to keep our freezer pretty full. And then, so we're rich. We're super rich. And so we have two fridges.
It's a lot of chicken.
When we moved in, the people just left their fridge. So we're like, maybe we should just keep that. And so we put that down in the basement. So we have like, and that thing's like old. I mean, that thing's got to be like, it's probably like a 30-year-old fridge.
Costing like $1,200 a year.
I don't know. But anyway, so we put a lot of... I think it was one of those like ice packs that came in like the meals that you, what are the Blue Apron or Hello Fresh or whatever. And they pack these things. And so we kept a couple of these things, these large things. We put those in the freezer and those things were clutch because I've just basically got these massive blocks of ice. Mm-hmm. And that's one of their suggestions on the CDC website is fill up water bottles and that sort of thing and freeze those things and just keep them. I mean, if you got the room, fill up that extra room in your freezer with as much ice as you can. And because that's going to maintain the temperature much longer. Okay. So bottom line, full freezer, good. Half full freezer, not as good.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fridge, that's a good one. Man, we probably should have thrown out a lot of food. We didn't get sick.
Well,
we moved stuff to the cooler, but not after. It was after like a whole day. We were like, okay,
yeah, because you're thinking, well, maybe it's going to turn on. Yeah, so we actually took a lot of stuff and then divided it. We have family that lives close by. So I took some of it to my parents' house and some of it to her parents, my wife's parents' house. And so that was awesome to be able to have that resource. But obviously that's who has that, right?
Right.
I mean, you might be able to, you know, some neighbors, because a lot of times the way the power outages do work is like one whole street or neighborhood will be out. And then, you know, just down the road, there's a whole neighborhood that didn't lose power. So that's an option to just take it to one of the neighbor's houses, obviously. So that's your go-to, like if, you know, but if it gets to it and you got to start deciding what can I keep, what can I not keep? So basically that magic number for a fridge food is 40 degrees, mm-hmm. right? So if it's held above 40 degrees for more than 2 hours, so basically after that 4 hour window when you're no longer in the safe zone and you've kept the thing closed, but now the clock's ticking and you're on like hour seven. Well, yeah, I guess that would be past. So like hour six, right? So then that's when you're going to start going through stuff. So any thawing meat or poultry you're going to discard. I can't go through this whole list. There's a whole big thing here. But any like hard cheeses like cheddar, Colby Swiss, Parmesan, you could totally keep that. Any kind of processed cheeses because it's got all kinds of crap in it. You can totally keep any of that.
It's kind of the common sense stuff, I feel
it
like.
It really kind of is. Yeah, I mean, butter is fine, mm-hmm. actually. So that's not like one of those huge things. I mean, a lot of people just keep butter out on their countertop, do they not? I've seen that sometimes.
That might be a thing.
I think it is. Like, I don't know. We keep ours in the fridge.
Yeah, I don't.
And then, you know, if you got a stick of butter and you need it, you just set it out
right.
for a while.
Yeah,
before.
I don't keep it out. I've never kept it out.
Yeah, we've always kept it in the fridge. But, I mean, I guess that's fine. Any kind of fresh fruits that are uncut, you're good. But if they're cut, you want to discard them. I guess it's, I don't know what that is.
Surface area.
Yeah. Bacteria growing on them. Any kind of fruit juices that are open, you can totally keep. Dried fruits, raisins, all that. I mean, why is that even on this list? Anyways, it is a lot of kind of common sense stuff. But if you want to go through this list and check this out, it's actually pretty interesting.
So this is a good point because, you know, and like Tim said, you can go look at the list and it's probably a good idea to pick up a like standalone thermometer just to stick into your fridge.
Yeah, they say that.
But This is good for me too, because 4 hours isn't that long. So if I'm running up on hour six, like in the future, I'm gonna at that point start transferring. Like I'm not, because
I would start at hour five though, because okay. you gotta have time. If you got a lot of, if you're yeah, like most people, sure. and you got a lot of crap.
Okay,
in
so
there.
Let's say you hit the four hour mark. Start moving. Like that's probably
start
a good
thinking
rule.
Through what you've got to move.
Or 24 hours, like I did. Okay. But 4 hours is better.
Okay, yeah. And then as far as the freezer, some interesting stuff. If the meat still contains ice crystals and it feels cold as if it was in the refrigerator, then you're good to refreeze that.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean like that's simply meaning you don't have to throw it out. If you can keep it at that temperature and keep those ice crystals on it, you don't have to throw it out and you can refreeze it. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're at hour five, six, I don't know. And then the power does kick back on. You're good. So don't worry about that meat. If it's still got ice crystals on it, when that power comes back on, you're totally fine. Mm. Yeah. But if it's thawed and held above 40 degrees for more than 2 hours, you gotta get rid of it for sure. So
that's good to know.
There was one interesting thing it said on the, if it had ice crystals and it feels cold, it still said to discard ice cream and frozen yogurt. I was like, what? That didn't make any sense to me. I don't know what it is about that, but it said even if it has the ice crystals on it or something, that you still gotta get rid of it. But anyways, use your discretion there. But I was also going to talk about, both Josh and I bought the same cooler recently. It's a knockoff Yeti, essentially.
Yep, Walmart Yeti.
Yes, Walmart. Was it Ozark? Ozark Trail. That thing is just solid. Like, I mean, it's really, really good. There's got to be no difference between that and the Yeti.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, I'll tell you what the difference is, though. Ours actually has freaking wheels. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what is it with the Yetis that don't have the wheels?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, brother. You don't understand.
Apparently, do they make them now with the wheels or not?
I don't think they make them, but they make a wheel kit that only costs like $200.
Oh my gosh, ridiculous. Yeah, I've been happy with that thing. I mean, it's been great. We took it camping, and it was a two-day camping trip, and it totally kept stuff. And we, of course, used it to transport some things out, and then also kept some things in it that we couldn't fit in our parents' fridge.
Yeah, I've put mine through the paces, a one-year-old birthday party, and power outage. So it's really serving its purpose. As a
yeah, and it was not cheap.
Cooler.
I mean, that thing was like $150. Yeah. And it was weird because I'm like, am I about to buy a $150 Walmart cooler? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I did. And I think
a week later, I bought one.
Yeah, I think that I'll probably, I mean, I think I'll have it the rest of my life. I mean, because the other one that I have is just like kind of this cheaper plastic Coleman.
I'm always, every cooler purchase, I've been disappointed, and it's because I just go with the cheap plastic stuff.
I know, yeah. But my point being, like, that one that I had that's super cheap, I've been rocking that thing for well over 10 years.
Wow, that's good.
And it's been fine. It got, like, melted because I had it too close to the fire.
Nice.
It's so scary. One whole, like, side of it was kind of melted. But, I mean, it still kind of did the job.
Yeah, all right. So a couple other things that we're going to touch on. All these preparedness lists, again, we're not going through all of these lists. You can look them up, readily available. But one was, Tim and I laughed at this, but we actually think it's important, is learn how to manually open your garage door.
Yes, because I think that there was probably a time that I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah, if you don't know that exists, like if you don't know you can open your garage door without the opener and your cars are in the garage, like you got a problem. So
Right. Everybody,
for the most part, I don't know if certain modern garage designs are different, but typically there's a red handle hanging from the track that you can pull down.
On a string.
And it releases the mechanism that automatically opens the garage door. And then once you pull that handle down, you should be able to walk over to your garage door and slide it up.
Yeah, and it actually should be really easy to lift. And you'll be really, really surprised and be like, is that all the force that it takes?
Yep. Unless you have like an older house with like wooden, like solid wood garage doors.
Yeah, that's true.
Dave's house still has those. I'm afraid he's got this little tiny, opening this like 700 pound door.
I mean, they're like high torque motors.
Right? Yeah, they are. It's getting the job done, but it they are heavy manually. But yes, typically most houses built in the past 20 years, normal aluminum. Are they aluminum garage doors? What's that material? Yeah, they're super light.
Yeah.
All right, another one, carbon monoxide detector. Because especially if you live up north, again, not as big a deal down here, but if you're going to be running like space heaters that are not electric space heaters, or running your fireplace or anything like that, like you really want to be able to monitor carbon monoxide levels. That can get ugly.
They really do quick. Have ones that are approved for inside. In fact, Dave has one. It's called a Little Buddy.
Yeah.
Little Buddy Little Heater. Little Buddy. And apparently it burns so clean, and it just runs off the small, like, camp-sized propane tanks. Mm-hmm. And he loves that thing, right?
Yep.
I think they're like $80, $100.
Yeah, they're not too bad. It'll work for one room.
Yeah, and you can leave that on inside.
Still get the monoxide detector as a caution here. One thing we're going to touch on, we don't really know what we're talking about, but this happened, so we're going to talk about it. If you were in our area, at least, because almost everyone I've talked to experienced the same thing. Power goes out and you're like, that's cool. I'll just get on my phone.
Nope. It was
so
horrible.
There was one of two things or both happening. At first, I was like, well, those things are on the power grid, too. Now, they've got generator backup, I'm sure.
Gotcha.
So that probably was not it. But the overloading of the network, because when you have, our suburban area, there were hundreds of thousands of customers out at the same time in the suburbs where people are typically on their wireless networks all the time. And so when you take those away, everyone jumps onto these cell towers. And man, I'm on Cricket, which is AT&T's second tier.
Right.
Sure, it's on AT&T's towers, but they are going to deprioritize Cricket. So I had no service at all for at least a day and a half, like solid, could not even use my phone.
Yeah.
So that brings up the question, like communication. If you have friends or relatives in your area and all of your power's out or one of your power's out and you can't communicate with each other, like maybe you should have some kind of plan set up to get in touch with them. Or at least the plan is, you stay put, we'll come to you, things like that. If you have relatives that you regularly check in on or things.
Right.
So that had obviously never happened before because that's usually a go-to that's easy. Related to that, battery backups for all your devices, gas for your cars, or getting your car in charge. I know a lot of people were doing that, charging their devices with their cars. Don't run your car in the garage.
Yeah, my 1998 Ford Explorer will actually, my power outlet thing in there is live all the time. I don't have to have the car on.
Okay.
So it'll charge my phone just sitting there.
Sweet. Yeah.
That's probably not a good thing, actually. It's probably not supposed to be like that.
I feel like more modern cars don't do that. But I had a car, might have been my old Lexus, like my 99 Lexus.
It was always hot?
It was always hot. But yeah, my van, not.
I wonder if that's something that you could rewire easily
100%.
Enough.
Yeah? I bet.
You probably just have to run like a whole new thing directly from the battery. Yeah, but that's been super nice not to have the car running.
Yeah. And if you're just using a phone, that's totally fine. Anything bigger than that, then you're going to run your battery. But
yeah, for sure. Nothing like a power outage makes you realize how screwed we would all be if we had like a massive power grid failure. So the things we're talking about, this just covers you for a couple of days. This is not talking about
tested here, because we had like the pandemic and there was a run on the grocery stores.
Yeah, but that's just small potatoes, man. That was
I know. I'm just saying, like, there's these little events.
Oh, okay.
Where are we going here? And now, we had our whole power grid wiped out essentially. For days at a time.
Yes.
Really having to.
And here's where we say that we're totally going to do a show on prepping, because we've said that before and we need to totally do that. In fact, I think one of our, if I remember right, our Facebook group members. Oh, it was Judd Cahoon, a previous guest. And he said he's got a really good friend that is way into.
We need a prepper guy.
Prepping. And so I think we're going to have him on the show coming up. Gosh, these things are just if, we're out of power for a few days. Beyond that, you're talking all kinds of other stuff going on. But, you know, if we're into that, then you got a whole lot of other issues to deal with.
Yeah. If for us in the suburbs, we're so soft. And because, I mean, there might be people listening to this show that live somewhere remote and they like regularly in the winters go weeks without power. So we're soft. Yeah. We understand. We get it.
I didn't much mind the power being out a few days. I mean, it really wasn't that bad. Even having not being able to use the phone was actually kind of good for me for a little while. So I can't say that I enjoyed it really, but it was tolerable sure. But anyways, hopefully this got you guys thinking about some of those basic things that you need to do in preparation for a power outage from like a storm coming through. And hopefully we gave you some knowledge on the food that's in your fridge, because I think that's what a lot of people are like, oh crap.
Yeah, that's power went out. That's level one decisions. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think like, all my food is spoiled within 30 minutes.
Or you're like me and we're like, we're good for days.
Yeah. So now you know. It's like, it's basically, you're for sure going to be good for like 4 hours. Now, that's provided you're not opening the fridge a whole lot. So
we failed that test.
And then keep your freezer full and then pack it with ice if you got extra room, and that will keep your stuff cold for a lot longer. So we're going to take a quick break, and I've got a short little segment for us to wrap us up today. Community, craftsmanship, and adventure. Those three words can sum up one of our new show sponsors, Alpine Leather Co. They make handcrafted leather goods right here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Now, you guys who are longtime listeners may have heard us talk about the term handcrafted and how it's just kind of tossed around by a lot of companies and doesn't really mean a whole lot. Not so with Alpine Leather Co. In fact, I've been to their shop and watched Nate, one of the owners, make something right in front of my eyes, handcrafted for sure. So if you like high-quality, built-to-last leather goods, then go to their website and check out the amazing products that they're creating at alpineleather.co. And for being a You Can Man listener, we've even got a special promo code for you guys, which will give you 10% off at checkout. Just use the code, no spaces, You Can Man at checkout. And while you're at it, check out their Instagram at Alpine Leather Co. All right, guys, welcome back. So I've had the same set of Craftsman cordless power tools, the 19.2 volt, for well over 10 years.
Wow.
So I had bought into
19.2 is good for 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But there's got to be more that goes into it, because the style of the batteries, right? Yeah. Something like that. Because when I first started, they were not the whatever, the lithium, any of that.
Oh,
now,
gotcha.
Might have been like more like 12 years ago. Mm. But I had bought into the system, and so I just kind of kept going. So now I've got probably like, I don't know, like 6 batteries or something, because, you know, whenever you buy a new tool, they'll have some sort of deal or something like that. And so I've got like 2 chargers and like 6 batteries and all these different tools. But nothing's really started breaking, but I have been losing a couple batteries. So I say I've got 6 batteries, but like a couple of them are just duds, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not really into a lot of the other Craftsman stuff that they have. And I think, in fact, they might even be phasing out the style that I have. And so for actually about 2 years now, I've kind of been toying with the idea, okay, I just need to buy into a new system. And so I went on our Facebook group and I did a poll. I said, okay, guys, I'm thinking about pulling the trigger on a new set of cordless tools. And then I did a poll and said, okay, Milwaukee, DeWalt, you know, all the major ones. And I said that I was leaning Milwaukee, and that's what the vast majority of it was split between Milwaukee and DeWalt, really. But Milwaukee by far had the most votes and the most people weighing in on the comments and saying like professional guys saying like, I've been auto mechanic for X amount of years, and I switched from Snap-on to Milwaukee because they were so good. And I just think the decision is clear. I mean, I think I could totally go with DeWalt.
Yeah. I mean, and reading the comments, it's one thing I like about the group is like, it's pretty much across the board, really educated comments. It's not like, you're an idiot if you go right. with DeWalt. Like, it's,
yeah.
it's like people have, they understand there's certain price tiers. There's, you know, usability factors as far as, you know, are you using this for your business?
Yes.
That kind of stuff. And it's all great advice. So I really appreciated that reading through those comments.
Yeah, because we had some people that are like, look, I don't use this enough to warrant the higher price tag and right. all this kind of stuff. And so like
totally
you're the Ryobi is totally fine. And honestly, I probably could do Ryobi and it would be completely fine. And in fact, they've got a crazy amount of tools.
They put out some tools.
So, you know, a lot of these tools, though, are like, really? Like, do you need, I don't know if they're just like little gimmicky bonus type.
We got this toilet brush.
Yeah.
Just like, attach this Ryobi battery to it.
Yeah, it's super weird. I'm trying to think of a good one right now, but mostly maybe just like the little like the lights and stuff. I'm like, yeah, some of that's okay, but like I wouldn't just specifically buy that.
Right.
For that, no.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make sure that the drill and the driver, you know, those things are super, super solid. I mean, that's like basically the flagship.
Your workhorse.
Of those systems. But the thing that really attracts me to Milwaukee stuff is all of the really high-grade pro stuff. Not that I have an immediate need for some of this stuff, but I like it because they are directly targeting professional tradesmen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that quality is gonna be there.
And they
there.
Focus group those guys
totally.
And gals to, you know, with those tools. Yeah, I chose Milwaukee.
Oh, you did?
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And
are you on the M18 system though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because a couple guys on Instagram I follow, like higher-end contractor guys and dudes that build barns and stuff. That's what they were using, and I was like, if it's good enough for them, I'll get into that. From what I've heard, they're only getting better, like Milwaukee as a company. I've actually heard about DeWalt is that if you're into like storage solutions, like portable storage solution, is that DeWalt is like the go-to for that stuff, and that Milwaukee's trying to break into that a little more. In a more user-friendly way, it sounds like. But I've heard DeWalt has great portable job site stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, as a homeowner and not a professional, it's kind of a big decision. Because I guess a professional, they're like, well, this is part of the tools.
Cost
and
of doing business.
Cost of doing business. So if I don't like it, I'll just switch this out next year or whatever.
But when you have a couple grand in tools, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's not like, I don't know, maybe you could sell off some of this stuff, but I don't see somebody buying used batteries and stuff, maybe the tools.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a big deal that you want to kind of research. And so there are a lot of opinions out there. I think I'm definitely leaning Milwaukee. And there's all these crazy deals coming up with Black Friday, especially at Home Depot, you know, and Lowe's and that sort of thing. And so
that was another factor that I think your buddy Julian, namesake of the podcast, mentioned about. If you don't have like a Lowe's near you at all, they sell like the Cobalt and the Craftsman line, then that might be a factor in your decision. We've got a Home Depot like a mile away, so Milwaukee's readily
available. I mean, I guess if you're in a pinch and like
you really
wanted to use that one tool, cordless or whatever, and then I mean, I guess if you got to drive across town to get that, then that is a factor for sure. But anyways, weigh in, guys. I'll try to go on our Facebook group. And if you're catching this episode fairly recently after we've published it, then go on and check out that. But you can always do the search, too, you know. And if you got a question about any of that kind of stuff, then leave us a comment. But I will keep you guys updated on what system I go with, because I gotta figure out how many tools are they going to talk me into buying in that first initial set, because it's like, well, if you buy this many, then you get
You're in a good spot. I did not. My first foray was the basic drill driver set. I didn't go big, but I think I would suggest
that's where you save some money.
For me, I'll show you my garage. But okay. Like the circular saw was a game changer in my life.
I had a circular saw. Maybe I still do it. Maybe it finally bit the dust. But on the Craftsman system that I had, and it never did well. I mean, It was like you do like one rip cut on a piece of plywood, and It was like, okay, I'm done.
Now, if you buy, so they've got new versions since I got mine, but there's like a worm drive one.
Ooh. That
is going to be a hefty price tag, but you could do like a deck off of that. The one I've got, I've used it for my full remodel, like just a small bathroom, framing, all that. It's never hesitated on anything. But yeah, if you were like working it out on a full deck or something, it might not work. But okay, the heavy, heavy duty contractor one does, apparently.
Okay. So I would really like to have that because, man, that would be really nice not having a cord on that.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Okay, good. So I'll let you guys know what I end up with, and I'll post, you know, whatever deal I end up with, because I'm pretty frugal and I like the good deal. So I'll post that on our Facebook group page. Guys, thanks so much for spending your time with us this week, and we will catch you guys next time.